This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you. Well, what an interesting morning. It's the gods are a little bit fractious, but not doing too badly. There seems to be lots of bits of bramble ending up on the fleece of the animals. And it's kind of lots of signs of spring still carry on. Do you know, we had a couple of days ago, there was an extra pair of geese around. Oh, that's interesting, I thought. And then yesterday in the car park, this extra pair of geese suddenly realised there's these little things moving on the ground around them. And they got five youngsters, five chicks. Where did they come from? They weren't on a nest around the lake. We haven't been disturbing them. We haven't been seeing them. The male hasn't been sat by himself protecting, which is what he does. But, so they've been somewhere, not too far away, because they've managed to bring him onto the lake. And they couldn't have brought them very far, I wouldn't have thought. So I'm really pleased. Anyway, we've got some young chicks. Yeah, they're in the car park. The male is super on alert, and the female is doing her thing. Yesterday it was raining when I saw them. And I wasn't sure what I was seeing. Was it just one or just a really small number? But actually, because it was raining, she was opening her wings. It was so beautiful to see. She was just opening her wings slightly and sat down with the wings spread. And the little ones went underneath and tucked away out of the rain. That behaviour is just that sort of maternal caring instinct that's there. And it's just amazing. So there's five little ones running around, and they're amazing colours when they're first born, or hatched rather. Not quite born in the same way, are they? And that was greens and blacks and yellows. It's an amazing mix of colours. And if they don't move, they're invisible. They disappear against the grass. They just disappear. Can't see them. And it's only when they move, particularly if they're moving fast, that you can see what's going on. But that's amazing. And that's a delight, a surprise that I wasn't expecting. And it reminded me of some other surprise bursts that we had here over the years. And we had Owena, the big brown girl, who was the first time. And she wasn't due then. There was a number of them all due at the same time, but she wasn't quite due. Anyway, I came down to give them breakfast and discovered on the poo pile was the placenta, so obviously born a little while earlier. No sign of the baby, just the placenta, just the afterbirth. And that was a panic, trying to work out. So at the time there was a hay rack, it was hanging on some hurdles. There was two hurdles stood in the corner, so they were supporting each other, as it were. And that was amazing. She was tucked in behind that. She somehow crawled through and got to the thing. But so she hadn't had her milk. She hadn't had her first milk, first feed and things. Owena was much more interested in the food I was putting out for her. Anyway, so I went round and I spotted her, thankfully, and pulled her out from behind this thing, picked her up, and then walked around offering her to all the females, trying to work out who looks like they've just given birth to a big career. It was bright white, so I wasn't thinking of Owena, who's dark brown in fleece colour. She's just it's a lovely, and her big eyes as well. Anyway, this is the whitest baby we've had born here, to the darkest brown of the alpaca mums. Quite amazing. So that was a surprise. And we also had another one where I came down again. It seems to be those early morning things. I came down to do do the breakfast, and there's a pair of legs starting to emerge in her head. And so that was Roslyn giving birth. It was quite a surprise. much earlier than I was expecting. No, there hadn't been the signs. You know, you know about the signs. Lots of tail lifting, lots of visiting to the poo pile, lots of getting up and moving around. They've got a sensation. They don't know what to do. Contractions. They don't know what to do, so they end up going to the loo. And the others kind of crowd in and know something's going on and stay nearby. And if they get up and move, they'll follow. So sometimes they withdraw, sometimes they pull in to be part of the group. It all kind of varies animal by animal. But yeah, that was a surprise. First thing in the morning, bright, bright early morning. It was a lovely morning, and which was nice. So and then there was Lily who gave birth. And that was a challenge. There's a baby here somewhere. She's about to give birth, or she's just given birth, and I couldn't find the bit. I hunted around the fields, went everywhere, and this poor little thing had kind of shuffled down and ended up down against the wall of the shed, of the stable here, and that was we reunited everybody at the end, but it was a little bit a bit interesting, but these surprise births. You know they're coming, mostly. There's a number of these things that catch you by surprise, and they shouldn't. And you feel, well, you feel like they shouldn't. You feel like, I should have known, I should have seen, I should have been aware. And sometimes that's true, and hey, you weren't watching closely enough. Or sometimes it is one of those things. They're very good, our alpacas, at hiding things. You've got a sickly alpaca, they don't want to appear to be weak and available to predators, so they will hide things until they're really not well. So you've got to keep an eye on what's going on, keep noticing things, take all of the data, all of the signs that you're seeing, and hold them. Don't jump to conclusions, but hold them and work through what's going on, what might be going on. Keep your distance, wait your time, but also be ready to act quickly when you need to. And particularly when you're into birthing season, then you've got your birthing kit in place, the whole, you know, the gloves, the lubricant, the this, that, the other, all the bits and pieces, your iodine spray or whatever you're using to deal with the umbilical cord. Yeah, it's an exciting time. Love the birthing season. We're not having any this year, but we have. For many years we had the Kriya arriving, and it was an exciting time, but you're kind of on edge all the time, even if you don't, it's kind of, the tension is there, you can feel it, and you're waiting for something that may happen or may not, and that anticipation is there. Oh, is that a significant movement? Did I see something that was significant? No, it wasn't. And on it goes. Kriya watch. You've got to embrace it and just recognise it's a season, it's a time when you need to give that extra attention, and you can't easily go off and do your own thing. Always got to be aware. But they know you're watching. And Hermione, I mean, she used to really know. She would stand up and stare back at me, very stationary. She's just looking at me. She knew exactly what was going on. She knew exactly when I was coming over and looking. And she was a sweetie. But yeah, there were other times when she actually got into the giving birth, where she needed a little bit of help. Sometimes, I don't know what going on, but it was the structure, the size and stuff. It was a bit tricky sometimes, something like a stuck leg. So those things, keep your eyes open and watch for, but also know your animals individually. The other things that are flitting in and out now, we've got over the lake, we've had the swallows, but we're now getting, you got a little stamp on your foot there. Tabitha's come over, but she's stamping a foot, so that's a between the toes check to see what's going on there. Or it could be that I found her all tucked in a corner fast asleep, and I just wonder whether she was, well, she's kind of gone, got a leg that's gone to sleep.
So I'm now back indoors. Do you know, there were so many of those little white biting flies. It's the up near the eye, it's around by the ear, it's all, and the alpacas, obviously, they're struggling as well. I felt quite guilty, really, for having come in and left them with all these flies. So they've taken themselves off, and there's not much air movement today, so the flies just around. Yeah, So we haven't had too many other signs of problem flies, which is nice. So there's a bit of a gap, I think, when they're going to be okay. But later into the summer, it gets a bit troublesome. And poor old Lily, she really hates the flies. Bless her. So, yep, we need to check our supplies of insect repellent, both for me and for the alpacas. And got some nice smelling stuff. No, they don't think so. The alpacas don't like it. And the flies don't seem to like it. So that's good. It's good that the flies don't like it. Nothing worse than an insect repellent that attracts flies. Don't know whether you've ever had any of that. It just seems kind of, oh, this isn't doing the job it was supposed to. So there's plenty of stuff out there that's worth checking. Do ask around. Find someone who's particularly in your area and see what they've been using and what they've been finding effective. And it's the same kind of flies that are going to be affecting alpacas and horses and cattle and stuff. So it's worth asking around, just getting a sense of what seems to be working. I try to stay away from the chemicals as much as possible, keep it simple. So some of it's kind of oils and oil-based sort of eucalyptus-type oils and that kind of thing, which just seem to help without being super processed, and things like DEET. Effective, but yeah, so it's a challenge. And then we've got bits and pieces to do, a bit of sharpening of the combs and cutters. I need to organize those. They're nearly there. We just need to count them all up. We've got the right ones available to us still, and the right numbers. Plastic bags. Oh, bags to put the fleece in. Need to check. I think we've got enough. Oh, no. Don't do that. Don't think you've got enough and go ahead and suddenly find you haven't. Oh, been there, played that game before. So, yeah, do have a check. So what are the other things you need? Make sure you've got enough of all of those bits and pieces for when you get going, if you're just going into shearing or just going into whatever season you're currently in. I always forget. It's not just here, but it's the other side of the world. Yeah. So we will see how things develop with the spring. It's been lovely seeing the geese and the goslings cruising around. They've actually got on the water, and it's a nice calm day. Not much wind today, so they've been able to get across the water. Occasionally, they're so light, if the wind's blowing in the wrong direction, they can't make much progress on the surface. Dear. So that's happening. And the visitors into the barn, they've been swooping over the lake, but we're getting a little chirps now and again as the swallows are starting to explore into the old nesting sites. So that's another phase that's coming. The greens of the trees have been amazing. What is that colour? Have you got a colour for me? Can you name that colour? What is the colour of an oak tree before the leaves are fully open and go really green? There's a thing. There's a brown, purpley, khaki something. There's a colour, and I can't quite settle on how to describe it. So there'll be a picture of that in the episode notes if you want to go check it out. You can help me name that colour. I'm sure I could do a search, actually. By now, the AI would be able to identify what this colour is for me. Scary, isn't it, all this AI stuff? There are a number of things, actually, which are kind of familiar, but yet I haven't got names for, or I don't fully understand exactly what. Like the grass. Grass is green. Grass looks like grass. It's not the same, though, is it? There's a whole bunch of different types of grasses. Look at a seed catalogue and you'll see there are a whole range of things that you can buy, different types. The ryegrass, the fescues, I love Timothy as a wonderful name for a herb that you find inside as one of the types of grasses, and mixed grass. The alpacas do like to pick and mix. So if you get a chance to choose which grass to plant, then have a look around and get something that's shorter growing and is got a mixture of things in there. They'll thank you for it. And they seem to work well together. There's a number of plants that seem to favour being together, you know what I mean? Rather than just a single type. But yeah, it's on my list of things, which I'm probably never going to get to, but I've got a list of things. What is that bird? I'd like to learn what that bird is. That's that singing bird. I'm gradually adding a few in there. What about this grass? What kind of grass is this? I'd like to learn what these different grasses are. So there's no reason why I can't, even if I'm just adding one or two in at a time. I think there's no good reason for that. And I'm not putting that on you. You can decide whether you want to learn what the different grasses are. But those kind of things are interesting just to be aware of and to know what you've got. And I was saying last time about the rosette and the kind of the leaf growth of things like foxgloves, which they're very evident at the moment. So a good time to be pulling those out and finding what else have you got? What else have I got around that I need to be aware of? And those identification things can be, I find it interesting, but it's also useful. So keep a check on what's around and know how to identify those things. It's not urgent, but it's interesting. So when you're spending some time sitting around with your alpacas, maybe you could check what grass you're sitting on. What is this that I'm seeing? And this bit of area here that looks very green, oh, no, that's sphagnum moss. Yeah, we're so wet a lot of the time that the sphagnum moss seems to do really well. I could harvest it, I think, and do a lot of hanging baskets for people. If only I had time to add to all the other things that I need to be doing as well. Find a pace, find a rhythm that works for you, and include a bit of identification of birds and insects and grass. That's always adds to the interest of what you're seeing and what you're around in your environment. Visitors, birds, and that kind of thing, they come through. And yeah, always learning. There's always something to learn, always something to stretch into. So if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. And enjoy your day. Take care. See you again soon. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.